Good day, everyone, and welcome to New Matter, the SLAS podcast, where we interview life science luminaries. I'm your host, Mara Richter. I'm a director at DMPKBA at AbbVie. And today we're chatting with Melanie Leverich, head screening, profiling, and mechanistic biology UK, and WW compound management at GSK. Welcome, Melanie. Let's start this off with the SLAS challenge of describing your day-to-day work in 10 words or less.
Okay, 10 words or less. So I lead a phenomenal team delivering science and technology to discover medicines. I think that might have been 11.
Good job. So how did you come to choose this career? What made you take this career path, and what made you the person that you are today in your job?
Sure. So I think really a passion for biology and biochemistry, first and foremost. And if I'm honest, also a bit of good luck and serendipity along the way. So I actually, I started out in my career when I completed a gap year. So a year between school and then going to do my bachelor's degree, which is relatively common in the UK. I really wanted to gain work experience. And so I applied to a company who place you in science and engineering placements. And through them, I was placed into a role at Merck Sharp and Dohme, who then had their neuroscience research centre in Harlow in the UK. And to be honest, from the moment I started there, I just absolutely fell in love with working in the pharmaceutical industry and how I could apply my love of science, my love of biology to something really tangible and positive in terms of drug discovery. So I did that before I did my bachelor's degree. Then I went off and did my bachelor's degree in biology at the University of Bristol in the UK. Had three great years there, but to be honest, my heart was still back in industry. And so when I finished, I started applying for graduate level roles and secured a role at GSK. And I've been at GSK ever since. That was 15 years ago.
Wow. Quite inspiring there. So thinking about the career and your career path and the things that have happened to you, is there anything really exciting, any lab moment that you could share with us? Is there anything or a professional accomplishment also that you think is worth sharing and maybe also, again, inspiring?
Yeah, sure. I mean, to be honest, I would say this year, some of the things that I've worked on this year. So, of course, I have to say this is an SLAS podcast. So I have to say that it was a fantastic start to the year getting to chair the SLAS 2020 International Conference. but then in addition to that, I mean, obviously this year with COVID-19 has been a really challenging, difficult year for everybody. So back in April, we just moved into the first UK lockdown. The GSK labs had been closed temporarily and we'd all started working remotely. And then I was asked by a colleague if I would help to lead the establishment of a COVID-19 testing centre at the Cambridge Biomedical Campus. It was part of a collaboration between GSK, AstraZeneca and the University of Cambridge in support of the UK national testing effort. You know, looking back now, that was a real lab professional highlight for me. Just working across the three organisations and with a number of vendor partners as well, who supplied the equipment and consumables. Many of those people who I've met previously at SLAS meetings, but not had the opportunity to work with directly before. And from the day I got the phone call, I think 5 weeks later, we'd established the labs from scratch. Recruited over 150 volunteers from across our organisations to work in the lab running the testing on shift patterns. Many of my own team as well worked in the centre, which I was super proud of them. it was just a real highlight. It was really collaborative. Everything moved so quickly. And I think because I've always worked in early discovery, to see such immediate impact of what we were doing. So, people would get their results within 24, 48 hours. And to see such immediate impact on human health is something that you don't get the chance to see very often when you work in early discovery. So that was really quite amazing.
I agree, do I? Yeah, this year was special and we had similar things at AbbVie. And just like you said, it was exciting. It was good to see that we can help a little, no?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Always where can see things coming to fruition. And
yeah, I think as you say, really difficult year, but actually to be able to use our sort of technology and science in that sort of transferable way is pretty cool.
And so, well, I guess along your career, did you have anybody who was mentoring you or any person that was helping you, just like you maybe are a mentor for your your younger scientists or people that you can influence? Is there any person you can think of? Any situation that you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I would say I've had numerous mentors and coaches through my career. At different times, different people have, you know, come to support me in different ways. But there's, I can certainly think of a number of times when, you know, I've sought people out just to use them as a sounding board, or if there's been an opportunity which I've been kind of hesitating a little bit around, that I've just needed someone in my support network to just give me that confidence to say, just go for it. What have you got to lose? So yeah, absolutely. I've currently got a mentor at GSK. We talk about once a month about all sorts of things, and I find that incredibly valuable. But yeah, over the years, lots of different people and lots of different ways. But I think it's really important to have mentors that you can call upon.
Do you have any tips or any things you could say to the younger generation of scientists, if we can say so? Is there anything similar to what you said, that there sometimes it's just a little bit of luck to take the career path that we take in? Anything you can share, any experience also there?
Sure. I mean, I think first of all, I'd say I think people sometimes, especially in science, feel like there's a very defined path of, you know, study and then the types of job that you do. And actually, I think in reality, there's no right or wrong path. Whatever it is you want to focus on, whether that's, staying in academia for a while and then moving into industry, or staying in academia for your entire career, jumping straight into industry like I did, or working, working with technology, our vendor partners, technology providers, whatever it is, I think so long as it's something that you love and that you really enjoy, then go for it. There's no right or wrong. but I would say, I think you do need to grab those opportunities when they present themselves. I mean, as I've said a couple of times, there've been a little bit of serendipity. Sometimes things appear and you maybe didn't quite expect them. They didn't maybe feel like exactly the right time, but I think it's really important to grab those opportunities when they do present themselves. And then I guess the other thing would be just to really build and maintain a network, because science, technology, it's all really collaborative. And so having that connection with people, and talking to them about what they do and building that network within the organization that you're working in, but also across organizations, I think that's really important.
I agree, yeah. So just wondering, how did you make the decision to go into the pharmaceutical industry? I mean, it sounded like you said in the beginning, you were pretty kind of knew exactly that this would be the right career path. Is there, as you said, it's very different from academia. There's some things that are maybe easier and some are more difficult. Is there any reason for you why you went into that career path, and also then into this more, I mean, in the end, your job is also very, scientific, but also there's a lot of technology involved in that.
Yeah. To be honest, it wasn't so much a conscious choice to go straight into industry versus academia. But because I'd had that experience in industry before I even went and did my degree, and I enjoyed it so much that it just felt like something I wanted to get back to. And so really from that point, I think my heart was kind of set on wanting to go back to industry. I don't really remember ever making a conscious decision to do that, but it's just sort of taking opportunities and following the path. And I suppose if I reflect, I always enjoyed what I've been doing. So I've never felt that I needed to then sort of stop and make a big pivot. Yeah, exactly. but I think that's the important thing, is just, do what you enjoy, and it's different for different people.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, what do you do to be motivated? But it seems like your work is motivating you. How do you keep your team motivated and your people around you? Is there anything special?
That's a good question.
It's
a good question, and it's been really hard this year, actually, because obviously people have been working in a totally different way, much more remotely. So the things we would normally do, would be making sure we have some fun as a team, connecting informally, making sure we've got time for, to get to know each other. That's been a lot harder this year because we've all been working, virtually. So it's been something that we've had to spend a lot of time thinking about. And actually, when I've been talking to some of my team members at the end of the year, they've said actually they found that they've even had a greater connection with their teams this year through the virtual situation, because actually everyone's spent even more time focused on connecting And making the time to talk to people. So I think there's been some really good things about how we've worked this year, but it's definitely been more challenging. And I think everyone's everyone's ready for a break at the end of this year.
Agreed. Same here. So as you said, that's an SLAS podcast also. What is special for you about the SLAS and also the network that it offers? Is there anything that you can see, any person, anything that has helped you maybe even in your career and in the path you've chosen by being part of this community?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about the importance of building a network, and the SLAS community and the SLAS meetings are a fantastic way to do that. You know, I always enjoy seeing, colleagues past and present, and then you always make new connections at the SLAS meetings as well. So I think, really, really to use organisations like SLAS to build your network, that's one thing. And then also really it's been great for me in terms of giving me the opportunity to share my science and share the science that my team are doing externally, which is really important in science, that, that we do go out and talk about what we're doing, share what we're doing, share, latest advances, best practice, and learn from each other. And so, through presenting science at SLAS meetings and then chairing sessions and, all the way through to chairing the conference this year, that it gives you that opportunity to learn about what others are doing and to share what you're doing. And I think that's a key part of our role in a scientific organization.
And like you said, a very lively organization and a good way to connect. So, thinking about this again, maybe also another mean question, but just giving a little bit of opportunity to think about the future is there. So if you had a crystal ball, what do you think will change in the next few years in the area that we're working? I mean, again, thinking about SLAS and all the inventions that we see there, is there anything you can see that will change in it or that you think might change in the next few years?
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more focus on some of the omics technologies. So there's tracks on the omics technologies in the SLAS meetings, and those are areas that they've been around for a while, but really moving fast in terms of the development of some of those techniques and how we can apply those techniques at scale. So I think that's one area that I'm really excited to see develop. And then, it's probably not surprising to hear me say it, but the other area that continues to develop at lightning speed is the data and artificial intelligence space. And I think that's really moved in the past couple of years, that's moved from something that everyone was talking about to now people are really presenting data on how it's impacting their work day to day. And so that's, I think that's something else which is going to continue to be a big part of what we're seeing presented at meetings like SLAS.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really more a question around the perspective that you have. Anything else that you want to share? Is anything you can think of?
Oh, I think you've covered all the and the mean questions as well. I'd say great to be on here doing the podcast, and thank you to you for hosting me, and thank you to SLAS for the opportunity to do this as well.
Well, we got to thank you for being so open and honest and then giving us a little bit of insight into your daily life and what do you think might come our way, and also about the challenges of this year especially. So I hope our audience did enjoy this podcast and is also kind of keeping an ear out on the next episode that will come soon and for sure. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.